thought you said we read it.
What's that?
Ready? Town of Ruta committee meetings for August 3rd, 2015, come to order. Please turn off our silence electronic devices. Mr. Andre, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rhodes?
Here.
Councilmember Bushlaw?
Here.
Councilmember Shaw?
Here.
Councilmember Andre?
Here.
Councilmember Leeson?
Here.
Councilmember Costa?
Here.
Here. At this time, we will hear from Mr. Dino Moran, our 911, all right, I don't, emergency preparedness, 911 director. The reason he's here is because last time there was a discussion about sandbags, and I asked him to come and talk about the parish's policy and so on and so forth.
As a parish, I am part of the parish, but I answer to the whole parish. Now, as far as our policy on sandbagging and what we do as a parish, you can't pre-bag sandbags, or so I'm being told, because of the moisture in it. I even went to other parishes and checked many times about this. Can you bag them up and really keep them for any period of time? And the answer is, I'm being told no, unless you buy dry sand, like a sandblaster uses, something like that. So our policy is, and when I say I'm talking as a parish, Ruley, Addis, Port Allen, whoever, when I say I, the way I look at it, I answer to every police chief and mayor and Pee-wee down the line. So when I say I'm talking about as a parish, we stack a large supply of bags. We keep sand. We try to keep sand at some of the ballparks throughout the parish. Bags at the fire stations that they could bring out. Fire departments do not do sandbagging anymore. It really, it's just a policy that they got to be ready to roll at any time, house fire emergencies. So they don't do a sandbagging anymore. So we try to keep enough where we can go out and put them out. We went through certification 3 years ago where we're a storm ready parish. But that means that the National Weather Service, my assistant Anthony and myself went through numerous classes. We got to go once a year and go visit the National Weather Service in Slidell. I invite anybody who gets the opportunity to go there, give anybody a tour who walks up and knocks on their door. It's very fascinating to watch how far out they plan for weather. So saying all that, bad weather's coming in, like the night of the event that, I don't remember the date, Joey, wherever it was, we started getting some emails and stuff. Hey, pretty good clouds are coming, some pretty good rain, some red sails, and we kind of watched it. And my dispatch center pretty much answers any phone in the parish at night. Well, their policy is the first call that they get of streets, or if they hear the officers on the radio talking, they'll notify myself, Jason, one of us, and we'll start notifying to try to get some people kind of ready. That particular night, I even called Mr. Wayne. He went out. We rode the parish. We watched. Now, I know they ain't building sandbags, but we watched the water. It came up in the roads, came up in numerous places. Now, Mr. Wayne did tell me that he was checking his ditches. Dane with the parish was checking the ditches. Jason and myself was out. 3.9 inches of rain fell in an hour that night. We came out. One house that I was reported to was the sheriff's house. He was out of town. His front door had a little water getting in. Through the mitigation plans, continuing to the parish, the city working together, keeping these ditches dug out where they going now. I know the parish president told me today that there's one more little piece that he wants to go get some of the silt and stuff out. And they'll continue to monitor it. Now, I was talking to Joey. I'm committed. I'll come down here and help build any plan we want built, but it really needs to be a plan that is workable and feasible and within the laws that we could operate under. I took this office right as Gustav and Ike hit just a few, very short time before that. Blows me away to find out that city and parish employees can't go on private property and do work. So, you know, that's some of the stuff we'll have to look at. But I just didn't want, why I really asked Joey to come, I'm sorry, Mayor, to come, is to make sure that no matter what the paper says, he will call my phone in a heartbeat if he needs to. We'll call him. We'll argue if we need to argue a little bit, but at the end, we come back together. And I really think that. So just really want to come back. I know he's very brief. But if anybody has any questions of anything, know me.
Any questions? Coming up?
Is your cell phone public?
Yes, ma'am.
Because I called, and the lady, I don't even know her name, but the lady who answered would not give me a cell phone unless she took my name.
Normally what they do, they take, because we do have a policy parish-wide that my employees can family remember, they answer a phone. If someone calls for the chief, even if he says, yes, my phone's public, we take a name and number, and we turn around and we call him and say, hey, Miss whoever, would like to talk to you, and they'll ask you real brief, what is this in, to concern? No matter what it is, they will, but on my business.
It wasn't for me, though. It was for another lady.
Okay. I don't know of anybody who don't. My business cards.
I have it now.
Okay. But on my cards, my cell phone, I'm pretty sure on our websites, my cell phone is there, and sometimes Julia will say something about it, that, you know, they know you 24/7. Ma'am, I try my best to be tied to this phone because I run the 911 center in emergency.
You know, it's just us here in the room, Dino. But how, I saw Vision West come out just recently.
Yes, ma'am.
Is something not for the people who actually get Vision West so they can read about it? Because nobody cares about Santa until they need it.
Right. And that's...
And if it's publicized, then, well, hey, it wasn't Vision West. You know, what else can you do?
I would do it again, ma'am. We really try to spend a lot of time and effort under exactly doing that. You know, telling people, register your cell phones, because if we have an emergency in the middle of the night, that's what I really asked them to do this time. You know, get your cell phone registered during this storm season and stuff. You know, what numbers to call and stuff. I don't want to take my cell phone and put it on billboards because hopefully they call that center because we got people up there answering at night. And they will screen the calls a little bit for us to see if it's something. We kind of set the guidelines. We have a book in there. Like for y'all city here, we have a book up there. Julie has personally seen the book, personally know what numbers to call at night that we'll call and stuff. So, and in no way I'm sitting up here saying I'm perfect or we're perfect. We could do better. And you know, I think Joey came up with, or he talked to me, I'm not sure where he's going to go with, but like that, hey, we're going to look at getting a committee.
Let me say, you know, there's a number that I find extremely helpful, and it's not Dino's number, but it's better than that. It's 490-0911. That is the 911 dispatchers. If you dial 911, it's really supposed to be like if it's life-threatening, if somebody's having a heart attack or something, you know, it's supposed to be a fire or whatever. But if you have a need, you tell the dispatcher, look, I would like to talk to the chief of police in Brule. They will contact them and have them call you back. A lot of times I'll call and say, I don't even know who's on duty for the town of Brule. What officer, can you have that officer give me a call? And they call right back. So they're kind of like a... I don't know how to define the difference between 911 and not 911, but you can kind of tell when you hear it. It might even be considered 911 if water's actually getting in your house or sewer's backing up. It's serious, you know. But under normal circumstances, if you just have something, a gas leak or, you know, it looks like a water line broke or you know, anything to do with police or anything like that, I find that number to be extremely helpful. And following up on Rosa said, you know, if we could educate the public and one entry in Vision West ain't gonna cut it. I mean, we've been probably 5 years not trying to teach people that the garbage, the brush is picked up on the second Monday. And we started to get through, but you know, that, the public has to have one message they get, and it has to be that they know that that's the message that they get. That's, you know, not that 490-0911, to me.
Is that a public? I mean, is that, where is that listed?
Oh, I don't know if it's listed or not, it's a.
What, it's 490 what?
0911.
Yes, ma'am, it is listed, that's our non-emergency, 24-hour.
Yeah, but the same people will answer the phone. It's the same people as the 911 people, exact. They're sitting there, it's their job to answer the phone, they're dispatchers, and, you know, it's just, you know, being.
On that note, I called that number several months ago, which I have to frequently do. Identified myself as a council member of the town of Burley, and I said, would you please have the officer on duty call me? And the person said, I cannot do that. But they did send the officer out. But then the situation went off, and then an hour later, the same thing. I called the person back, I said, I'm at such and such Gleason Street. Please send the officer back, and please ask the officer to come tell me what's going on.
Yes, ma'am.
And the officer came to my door then, but I knew that, and I had done this in the past and identified myself. And they did let the officer call me, but this was within the last few months.
Please, the next day, you're not, however you want to look at it, you're not telling, they'll never know, but all of my telephone lines in that center is recorded. All of our radio traffic is recorded. And let me tell you, in days like that, what you're talking about, I tell nights, it's their best friend or their worst enemy. And that's the reason we do that, that we do record all these lines. And I need the feedback like that, because I can't imagine one of my people doing that, saying that I will not give an officer a message. Because remember, myself, pretty much all my people, we're parish-wide, we work for everybody in this parish.
I didn't want special treatment, I was concerned, and my neighbor was concerned, because my neighbor was wanting to call me and told me what was going on and asked me to report.
Yes, ma'am.
That's not about sandbagging.
Okay, but still, that's still a problem, and really and truly, I appreciate coming to these meetings, and I appreciate the feedback from y'all. And sometime I'll come to these meetings like, oh, this ain't gonna be, you know, this ain't gonna be my most enjoyable visit, but end of the day, it's my job, so, yes.
Where do people call to register their cell phones?
It's on the website.
It is on the website.
Website or parish?
Parish.
Parish. We just put this month in the Vision West, the mail-out deal. But while you could call, we have quite a few elderly citizens who, believe it or not, they have hearing that, but they don't really, you could call my office, and the girl who answers the phone, Lisa, she'll register it for you.
And she can do that for, if I call her and ask for someone else's phone? Or if I want to get his phone registered, could I do it for him, or does he have to call?
Yeah, you can, but I mean, we try not to let someone else do someone else's phone, but like there, if you called and said, hey, I have someone, we don't know.
I'm just saying, the elderly that.
Yeah, we don't.
I mean, that sounds good.
It's no problem, you need to go home or call us.
You need a more elderly than that.
Going back to the same day, last thing, and talking to Joey and, I'm sorry, the mayor.
Joey's one.
Okay. Noting that in town of Burley, because I'm going to tell y'all, this is a concern of mine. I don't know, Thursday evening, I left to go to camp, and y'all remember Thursday? Man, we had a red cell come over us and rang, and I'm like, oh, dang, I hope that ain't hitting Burley, man. Man, come on, guys, move. Every 5 minutes, I was clicking, trying to drive, like, but it's good to know that today, they don't allow subdivisions without a retention pond. And I did, I asked Pee-wee today, I said, Pee-wee, can we have that as a parish? He said, well, not exactly. He said, we require, and I think Cletus could kind of maybe explain,
what they require people to take care of their own water, is that it at the beginning in subdivisions now? The parish,
We do a drainage study, and if we don't impact it, you know, past its capacity, then we're allowed to dump into the system. But if we do impact it past its capacity, then we have to put either a retention or a detention pond to store the water and, you know, release it into the system at a slower rate.
Yeah, and I'm going to yell because I know Julie's going to throw me out in a minute in this conversation. But, you know, y'all remember how high the river's been all this time and how saturated of it? Because no one's house got what, I'm proud that, you know, 3.9, because I did. Every parish around us had houses with water in. Now, you know, we came out pretty good. And today, period, I know Joey says, hey, we're going to continue to work towards the drainage issue so we can move water and stuff. But we will also work on the same bag issue any kind of way we can.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you know of any parish that has a specific sandbag policy?
No, sir, I don't. And let me tell you, the only thing that I could find is Ascension Parish is trying. They bought some sea cans and they put vents in them. And they're trying to put a layer of sandbags on pallets, a pallet, a layer of sandbag, and fill them up down in some of their low-lying areas. Rick Weber, equal to me.
You pre-stage them?
Yeah, pre-stage them. And I told him, please let me know how that works out, because that could possibly be something that we can look at.
But some of the biggest problem with pre-staging them is the moisture and tire bags rotting and falling apart, right?
Yeah.
And I tell you, in Point P, on the floodplain manager, Point P, what we did, we purchased an actual sandbag machine. We trained some of our work release guys to operate it. And what we do, we bring it to the mill and we just fill them there. But we tried that. We tried to pre-stage them and stuff like that. They got a shelf life of about 6 months.
Yeah. See, Point Compete told me that, West Belief. But I don't want to come in here and say we can't. There's got to be an answer to this, you know. I look, there's a U.S. flood control with some bladder type devices.
Yeah, we had a guy vendor come out and actually tested it. It didn't work.
Really?
Well,
yeah, I'm just looking at some of everything.
No, he actually came out and he set them up around the old police station, and we flooded it, and it started seeping through the walls. We didn't have anything to lose with the old police station. So
the only other product they make is the plant right below Plotman makes a product. They put it in what looks like a sandbag, and it's just a powder. When it gets from water, it activates. Matter of fact, the way they tell you to disperse them is you put them in the front of a front-end loader, and you just fill the front-end loader with water, and they'll swell up. And then once like the event is over and they dry out, they will go down and use them about 3 times. But when you look at the expense, I mean, yeah, it's just out the
well, this, you know, and I'm handing out to the council members something that we're not going to discuss this meeting, we'll discuss next month, a draft policy. But right at the beginning, the draft policy basically says, if it's any kind of a rising water situation, like a hurricane or heavy, you know, something we can see, we don't have any problem with that. We can get sandbags, we get prisoners to fill them, we got that covered. The only thing we really need to address is all of a sudden you sit at home and all of a sudden you look on your radar and one of those big old purple ones is sitting right over you and getting 3.9 inches of rain in an hour. You know, you can't use inmates, you can't use maintenance staff, you can't do any of those things because it happens too fast. You talk about these bags that, you know, I've heard of these products before where they swell up. Well, it takes somebody to get the bag, get it out of the shop, put it in, soak it in water, and by that time the storm is past, and everybody agrees that an hour after every storm we have, there's no more water. That's not the issue. The issue is a large amount of water, and, you know, we'll take a swing at it, and if we don't want to do it, we'll dump more. But look, you know, I'm proposing something, but my prior authorship is zero, so we can discuss it until we come up with something we might be able to live with. But I appreciate you coming out, Dino.
Ain't no problem.
Now, how many questions did I ask you?
None right now.
Right? You said, Dino says every time I go to a meeting, I ask a lot of questions. But I ask you, is that right? The only question I ask you is how many questions did I ask you?
None right now. I put them on every committee from the beginning. He's going to make me so mad with some of the questions. But by the end, if I can give him the answers, he'll back the deal 100%. So right. I appreciate it. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dino. Appreciate it.
I'll give him a number. Call me. Thank you.
So y'all bring that home, read it, look at it, and see what you think, and come back next time, but I don't know if there's any, anything that's gonna be absolutely perfect, but we can try stuff. We'll talk about it next time. Let's see where we at. Oh, meeting minutes and package, if there's any corrections, let us know, and we'll have it on the agenda for next time. Let's see. Committee reports, Public Works, the police station construction update. This will be the very last one I ever give, because we are now in the warranty stage of the building is basically done. The AC situation continues to be an experiment. The units are running, but we haven't come to a resolution of why we're getting more humidity in the building, and it's not uniform, but we're gonna get there. We got the right people looking at it, and, you know, it's getting better every day, but it's not like it should be, but it's getting better. The signs, the directional signs to tell people which building is which and all that has been ordered, and they're gonna come in when they get them done. There's some other minor thing, anything I need to talk about? No. It's a functioning station, so for all practical, the contract has been paid, architect's been paid, so we're in a maintenance mode right now. And I don't know of any other major problems that we have. Okay. Any questions or comments on that? Anybody? Planning and zoning, we have a few items. The first one is a variance for Arthur and Whitney Soma. That was reported out to build a patio, I think, yeah. And that was reported out unanimously by the Planning Commission in favor. Any comments on that or discussion? Okay, the next one is another variance for Aaron Daniel, so to build his drugstore and basically be exempt from this fencing and shrubs. There's a buffer zone because you're going from one zone to another on the sides, and in this day and time, there's an industry out there for breaking into drug stores. But anything you can do, I think the chief spoke in favor of it, and I'm certainly in favor of it. So that was also reported out unanimously favorably. Any comments on that discussion? The next one is another variance request for Stonewall. They just left. But anyway, they planted some crepe myrtles along the side of Ori Drive. That picture? Oh yeah, okay. And we told them they needed to get a variance because it's actually in our right of way. And nothing to talk about there. It was also reported out favorably. Talk about you have crepe myrtles you planted on the right of way. And no, you don't talk about it. We want to minimize the amount you talk.
All the one I have.
I just need a map so I can attach it to the servitude variance document.
Okay, we'll do it.
You know, so.
Nothing
elaborate. I got one at the landscape architect made, I'll send it to you.
Nothing elaborate. Then we had two plats submitted, both by Ms. Sherry Pusho. One from one that's up there that enters a subdivision, not fronting on public street, enters from Richard Street. And then another one on the other side that enters from a boat. The first one was reported out favorably. Contingent upon sufficient water main being installed the entire length of the Richard Street with a fire hydrant at the end, along with a letter from the fire chief stating it was adequate for fire protection to the lots, and a letter stating that the lot at 212 Richard Street will be allowed to tie into the main sewer line. First part of it has to do with fire, the second part has to do with a...
There was a third, wasn't there?
He said
I'm reading from the notes, I wasn't there.
Okay, well, 212, continued on allowing the 212 lot on the end to tie into sewer city.
So that's it? I just read it.
He said...
Okay.
He said...
Catch up.
Okay.
Okay, this is Lane Law, engineer and surveyors on behalf of Ms. Pusho. Mayor, I don't know, I guess, and Mr. Don was asked, I guess we might need to look at them both together, Mr. Don, because I think that the planning commission kind of at the end, they tabled the second one, kind of made a request to have all of them on one map and have one servitude that would come in from Reshore Street and go all the way across and just have one variance. So, you know, I'm, you know, am I saying that right, Mr. Don? That's kind of what they...
Yeah.
That's kind of, we didn't say bring it all on one.
It was a suggestion.
It's just a suggestion.
So, but they did table a second one stating that, you know, they wanted some answers from exactly what you did read, Matt. They approved this one, then got to the second one. So I guess...
Now, wait a minute. Let's make sure we're all on the same page. The one that I read is the one that enters from Reshore Street.
That is correct.
The one that was approved, that's the one I read the stipulations to.
That is correct, yes.
We haven't even gotten to the second one yet. But when we get to the second one, we got nothing to talk about at this meeting. Because it was tabled by the planning commission.
Yes, not on the agenda.
I'm reading from the minutes, but it's not to be discussed because it hasn't made it through the planning commission. So whatever the planning commission recommends to the council, then it'll be discussed.
Okay.
But let's not...
All right, but this was approved with the stipulations. And I was waiting to get past y'all. I'd already had some discussions with Turk when we started this process over a year ago. And one of the things was about extending that line down to the end of the street and quit placing a fire hydrant. He said right now, you know, he couldn't justify because there wouldn't enough lines down there. I think there's only like a 2 or 3 inch line that runs down there, so he'd have to upgrade that line. And he said, you know, once you got a couple more houses like that, then he could justify doing it. So once I got past y'all, and I'm gonna talk to him, and you know, I'll get whatever I need from him, and from Kenny. I'll have to talk to Kenny too to get a letter from him.
Okay, are you saying that the turf is saying that they're not gonna put a wall on it?
No, he said they will.
Oh, they will.
Yeah, I talked to him. Like I said, it was about a year ago. Right. I just gotta go back to him.
So, talking about water and fire protection only. What I read is still.
Correct. Yeah, but once he extends that line, he'll put a fire hydrant down at the end. Then you'll be within the correct distance.
All right. By next Monday, are you going to redo the plat and show those things on
yes,
there for the council?
Yes, sir. That's right. What we plan on doing.
All right. Now let's talk about the letter for the lot on 212 Reshore Street. I mean, I don't want to make this a legal issue, but that doesn't sound like a planning commission authority to do. However, I know Lisa Ware has said that Ms. Sherry is very willing to give that letter. Okay. Can you make this go away? Go to Ms. Sherry and say, Ms. Sherry, here's the letter. Please sign it. Walk it over to Jeff Travassos and give it to him and close this issue.
Yeah.
This is something I don't think is an issue, but it's remaining in the...
Yeah, that's something I didn't even know about, man, to be honest with you. And it kind of got brought up and brought to my attention. I didn't get a chance to talk to Lisa today. She did call my office and discuss this with my secretary and stuff. So I think, I'll get with her tomorrow. I'm gonna put it on the record because I don't really be certain. I think the letter exists already signed, so I just need to go and get it.
Do me this favor. After you talk to Lisa and or Ms. Sherry,
yes.
If it's not gonna be signed and handed to Jeff by next Monday, call me.
Okay.
Don't call nobody else. Just call me. You got my cell phone.
I got your cell phone number, man.
If either one of them balks at it, or you can't find, whatever reason, it ain't gonna get done by Monday, call me. Yeah.
Can I just ask a question from my knowledge,
sure,
Matt?
Sure.
Let me borrow you a little pen. And I don't know, and this is just me as a surveyor. This little piece of land right here from the back here to here, who owns that? This little square right here that goes off the back of this is the surface area. There's a little square that runs to Mr. Travassos's lot.
Pretty sure Pusho's on that.
Pusho owns that. You're right.
Well, because the thing is, it shows up as right away. And I'm just wondering, and it shows up on assessment as right away. And I know he's not always correct, but I mean, I'm going to go pull that reference map and see.
No, I think this is the town.
And that's the way I've done it.
No, the town. That's the right way.
That's the town.
That house has a motorhead on it because they
You don't need the ladder.
They wouldn't let me call the courthouse, say.
I don't know, we'll check and see. I'm out of town since we met.
I was under the impression that was there.
Yeah, we had a sewer a long time ago.
I'm gonna pull that reference back.
Oh, I remember.
You get the authorities here.
I'm gonna pull that reference back, come back, that means that.
It's where they cross.
Right.
He had that permission from the day.
Right.
The judge gave him access to cross, but not with utilities.
Okay.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, let's see.
Okay, well, that was just for me. I just, you know.
Okay, let's straighten that out.
The water main is real important, because that road over there, the closest water main is on Main Street.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got, what, 500-600 feet back to the end, and then if we do another 580 feet, you know, off, you really.
You talk about the hydrant, I'm missing.
Right, yeah.
I got a question too. You said turf, said when you get more houses back there. So he's talking about not running the line until some homes get built?
No, I mean, I think once we make the lots, we create the lots, then yeah, he could go ahead and do it. You know, it all based upon their thing. And he said, look, because I've been needing to do that, he said, because that line's almost insufficient back there right now. He said they would put more houses to it. He said it wouldn't have enough volume.
But you know, I think I understand what Scott's driving at. Okay, if the council votes on this and the water department decides, well, we don't have the manpower, we you know, they sit on it. And if somebody wants to come and build a house, what do we tell them? But as a plat, lot number 1, 2, and 3.
We've been doing it through the parish, Matt, and we've been putting a note on here that stipulates that until all of the infrastructure is brought up to code, no building permits will be issued.
Okay.
And I can add that.
So say that on the plat?
Yeah, so say that on the plat.
Yeah.
We've been putting that on, but like, we had to cover that note for family partitions or something like that, because they were partitioning it and giving it to the kids, but nobody was doing anything with it. So you just said, until you met all the infrastructure of the city, then you get the permit.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Okay. Anybody comments or questions? Yes, ma'am.
And you're right, it wasn't part of planning and zoning, but I figured that was the only reason to bring it up and have it addressed properly.
I was frankly under the impression it had already been done, because
no,
I talked
not.
To Lisa a long time ago.
Well, actually,
a couple of months, at least,
yes.
2 or 3 months ago, she said, Ms. Sherry is good with that, no problem. And she was going to put the letter together.
And she said the letter exists, but she said also that it was going to be given to him right after it was approved by the council the first time, and it was not. So the only reason to bring it was to bring it back.
After what was approved the first time?
The first division that we did with her.
Not the council didn't approve the letter.
No,
the
letter.
All right, okay, all right. All right, we're good. We're all on the same page. All
right. Yes.
You going to call me?
I'm going to call you, the man.
Okay. All right. Good.
So, I'm dial 911.
490.
No, it's the 911.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
It would also be a variance on 4 lots, 5 lots.
No, that's
the on the other one.
Hey,
that's
right now, I'm saying. We don't have the other one yet, just like he said.
Right.
Well, you only have 4 lots.
It's only 4.
This is number 4.
Don't you have the remainder of lot 4?
Well, typically, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess it.
You got 4 more.
Which ones exist and which one? Is it a total of a running total?
Well, you show the whole lot, A41B.
It's 5. It's 5. It's 5. Yes,
so what you're requesting is a.
You're right. I forgot about that. You're right.
It will come back to 4 if the other one comes about. Okay?
Because they'll have access on the other side.
That's correct.
Actually, this one has access on the other side. The servitude runs up to that. Matter of fact, that's the only access to it.
Okay.
From the boat, right?
Okay. From one another. Right, yes, sir. I mean, we worked around it somehow with Mr. Donovan, but it's been a week. You got to give me a chance.
So, if somebody explain to me why it's 5 lots now?
Look right here. Yeah, Lisa Ware's lot, which is Lisa and Mike's lot, which is 1. Then the lot we created for Lisa, which is 2. Then these 2 lots, which are 3 and 4,
right.
And then this lot, which is the remainder, which is actually 5, that's the remainder. But it has access through this servitude passage right here.
Hold on a second. Is the servitude of passage and utility being extended into that one that has a blank and that has nothing in it?
Not right now, but looking at it now, man, and probably after Mr. Don brings this up, we probably should extend this servitude all the way across, which it will exist on the next map. But we probably shouldn't do that right now.
Let me say it a different way. you got to choose between whether you want the one at the bottom to be a servitude to that vacant lot, or the top one to be it. You got one of the two.
The top, but the...
If it's the top, then we don't need a variance, because we only have four lots.
Correct.
Okay.
And we'll just extend it into that, because that's where it's going to be on the...
So when you come back with the other one, if you do, that then we know now that'll be a variance for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
That's correct.
I think that's...
Good catch, you know.
The guy's short, but...
He is, he's good, good at what he does, that's why we got him here.
You never made it.
Look, I put that bullet on him, Mike.
All right, I think it's okay, it's plenty.
Now, I see what he goes for.
Yeah, give yourself one out.
Okay, and we have another one here, discuss a variance request, Claire Gibson. And that's a fence on the servitude, so we just put that on, we don't need, we didn't need the planning commission to do that. They gave us a blanket on all of it. Okay, are we ready to move on? All right, now, let's talk about, we got some good news, derelict buildings. The house at St. John's, which is the one that was burned, Lawrenceboro came to see me last week, week before last year, really, and said, he's got it, he's taken care of, he's tearing the house down, he's asked for where he can stock the lumber, and he's cutting the grass and all that. As far as I'm concerned, if Lawrence says he's got it, it's a done deal, it's over, so I closed that.
And it is being stacked.
Yes, that's, yeah, he's going to take care of it, he's, there's no, I have no doubt about that, so I'm closing that one. All right, now, Tom, you want to give us a report on the other two, 407 Gwynn Street, which is, what Richard's trying to buy it?
407 Gwynn Street, owned half by Richard Soniat, having the succession of Morris Mobley's, having been completed, and his daughter Catherine, the only heir, having sold it to Richard. Richard is now a half owner. Richard is trying to, through Kevin Kimball, Richard has made contact with the widow, but long estranged from Morris Mobley's, and for some reason she is, has not been cooperating. I think there may have been some bad blood with her and her late husband, but she thought there were divorce, there were community property settlement. She still owns half of it, so one way or the other, he's got to try to either buy her out or force a partition sale or something, but that's in the process. Hopefully we will have some word before next month that one of those two things is in progress.
Who's the attorney handling that?
Kevin Kimball.
All right. Did you talk to him later?
Talked to him today.
All right.
Okay. He said that Richard had contacted her, and so now he's going to be involved. Richard had asked him to, you know.
This sounds like deja vu all over again. Whenever Richard's involved in something, it drags. And we get these excuses.
In all honesty, it doesn't sound like it's Richard's fault. Okay, now Richard's got a decision he's got to make as to which way he wants to go. So,
yeah.
So I'm gonna keep pressing Kevin weekly on it so we get some movement.
Does Kevin communicate with the business?
He has not yet. No.
Does anybody communicate with Mrs.
Mobley? Richard.
Yes, it would be a lot better if the attorney communicated.
That was what I recommended as the next step.
We'll be back here next month.
The other piece of property is West Main Street. I spoke to Maurice Hall, the second court-appointed attorney.
Yeah.
The original one had to back out because of the conflict of interest. That's what we... James and Henrietta Woods' property. He has not yet contacted the family and gave him contact information today. Golden time is of the essence, he understands that, because we got a hearing next Monday night.
So he's going to be on the agenda right now?
Right.
Okay. That'll get some interest. That's it for German buildings. I thought it was interesting today, Wayne gave me a report that we have no tall grass issues in the town right now. We mowed 2 yards on Helene Street. Well, they side by side, two lots, but anyway.
We cut them again.
Yeah. Well, cut them like 2 weeks ago or whatever. Not long ago. I was gone last week. It was the week before, I think. Or it might have been last week.
And those two lots went up to tax sale.
Yeah. Well, it's two different owners now.
Yeah.
I know.
It is two different owners.
Yeah, two different owners. Anyway, so that's good. All right. Any questions on grass, nuisances, derelict buildings, anything that smells bad or anything? Okay. Finance Committee, July bills, they're in the package. Does anybody have any questions about this? Let the record show that I did not charge two Chamber of Commerce meetings in this bill. Is that? All right, no questions? Move on. Personnel Committee, I'm not aware of anything. Recreation, I'm not aware of anything. Police Committee, discuss hiring part-time police officer Ron Lorraine.
All right, Ron, he's been working here approximately 2 years. He's a tremendous asset to us. He's always ready to help anytime we need it. He even calls us and offers suggestions on things we could help with. He just done a real fine job. He's been going to the Reserve Academy, the Sheriff's Office, continuing his education, so could like to hire him at $12 an hour.
It'll be on the agenda. Anybody have any questions or comments? I also think he's done a good job.
Does a real good job for
very interesting.
All certifications are there?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I hate to be a dead horse.
Oh, he's gracious. Yeah, he's got all that. Except the post certifications. That's what we're going to pay him a little less than the regular ones. But he's knowledgeable enough to handle it. Cover shift by so.
Part-time, that have to be post-qualified?
No. Not part-time paid like that. Just a full-time.
Okay. That's a good question.
He was the one that helped, and Jonathan helped do the sand bags. Right. He and his children filled the bags, and they stacked them.
He wants to be a policeman.
Oh, he really does a good job.
He's the counselor.
Yeah.
And he has a full-time job already?
Yes, ma'am. He puts in more time than all our part-time paid combined. Every chance he's
all.
He does real good. Can't say enough nice things about him.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Governmental Affairs, Landmark and Heritage meeting minutes. Discuss homes for Landmark plaques. 6/8/10.
Okay. I'm getting information together on these homes. I realize that we're not just talking about structures, we're talking about the people and adding some knowledge about this. This first one is Mayberry Street, 256, Dolores Martin Bacheron home. The late Manuel R. Martin, well-known carpenter, built this home for his family in 1958. His wife, the late Dolores Dupuy Martin Bacheron, raised her family here. It's a 1,100 square foot brick house. And the property also has a workshop shed entirely of old cypress, where Martin built cabinetry for various historical homes throughout the area. And through the years, wood flooring was installed, covered patio added, the original driveway wide, and the home recently remodeled in 2014 with Galen and Tracy Martin, the present owners. And something significant about Manuel Martin was that he was well known and trusted and respected for his work in the community. And he built, these are some of the homes that he built in the Brule area. Sarah Ann and Coochie Saragets, Mathalga Carroll, Charlie Smith, Greg Wynn, and Elton Hayes lived. The Bruce Bourgeois Senior Home, which has been demolished. Gooby and Lou Landry's home, Wayne and Rena Dupuy, Wilbert and Roma Morales, home now owned by Shirley Gidry. He built J.C. Kaya and Geraldine Kaya's home. He built Sam Peavy's little house at Richard in West Main. Jerry and Dale Jern, who's the Hubbard Peavy, Wally and Marie Abayer, Pete's Daddy Landry, Stanley and Gloria Alexander, Buck Abayer, Julius and Ben Dupuy, and Stark and Marina, Pat and Al Whaley, Nikki and Ethel DeCampo, C.G. Luke, J.C. Redcass, among others. And he died around 1970, but he was a very respected person. And he remodeled several homes. So this asset, this dark, this is everything, so I think. This is the home of Aunt Jane and Brenda Bowe, 139 South of Bowe. And it looks much the same as it did in the early 1900s when Octave Lowell Lebeau and his wife Bertie Hunt Lebeau resided there with their daughter Anne Mary. And although it's not verified, it's believed that the house was moved to its present location from Moreland. After Mr. Lowell's death, Bertie lived in the house until she died in the early 1970s, and a grandson, Corey A. May Jr., then purchased it. Ryan Clifton Fibray now owns the home, and he uses it as rental property. And on a historical note, the famous painting of the back ruby oak tree by Mr. Percy Rodriguez was created from the front porch of this house looking toward the oak tree. Okay. Sam Thibodeau House. This house is owned, this is the one day they showed up in the show. This house is owned by Ryan Fibray, Brad Fibray, and Cobb Thibodeau together as a corporation. Sam and Hazel Thibodeau purchased this home from Romy and Uta Hunt Dupuy in the 1950s and moved it to this site on West Main, which was the former location of theater in back room owned by Mr. Charlie Marino. And it was once the house of Magawatt Dupuy. And the original design was typical Acadian style dating back to the early 1800s. When Roman Dupuy began renovating the home, he and a worker found that the walls were made of bousillage and led some people to believe this was one of the oldest homes in Baton Rouge. At its former location on South Abode, it was near the entrance to where Live Oak Drive begins today, near the Baton Rouge Oak Tree. After it was moved to the West Main location, the roof line was changed along with other renovations. And Mrs. Sam and Hazel Thibodeau lived in it until their deaths. And the home was owned by the three guys together. And the notation on the bottom there says a Romy Dupuy home, and there's a, you really can't tell too much, but this one notation said that this structure became part of the Ruby Hunt Club. Y'all know anything about that? Somebody wrote on there that that little house got moved back there. The ruins of it, okay. Well, that's where it originated. Okay, Debbie. The Ori A. Bear home at 228 South Lebeau is the strongest home in Brule. This was built in the late 1950s. And Mr. Ori A. Bear was a welder, and he designed and built the outside walls with steel and concrete. And this shows some of the steps in the process. Lane A. Bear's wife, Mary, shared these pictures with him. Once the outside walls were in place, a carpenter was hired to finish the project. And you can see the steel beams. And one of these pictures showed the concrete truck in the background. I can't really tell. But it wasn't blocks, it was solid concrete. And the property behind the house was sold and subdivided into Oak Shadow Subdivision. And Dane and Mary A. Bear own the home today. Ferdinand Thibodeau home on West Main, 1206 West Main, now owned by Tim and Christine Robichaux. This shows what it looked like probably in the 40s, and this is the house today. This home was later owned by Elaine Dupuy Doffitt, the lady who donated the property where Lane Street is located. Reed Gadry and his wife Annabelle Abair Gadry lived in the home in the 1950s and 60s, and then the home has changed hands since, and Brian Robichaux, his wife, owned it today. This next picture shows the inside of the house. This shows the Thibodeau family. This is inside the house, and it's hard to tell on here, but that's all beaded board, which I'm sure is public today, but That's how the original walls look. This was on the occasion of, on this, it was Tipco's 15th anniversary. And that was all their family there. This house is on West Main, at 1240 West Main. Mr. Edwin and Marie A. Bear lived here. This little addition on the side was there originally, but there was a porch. It wasn't closed in like it is today. And Miss Marie was a local midwife, and she also taught catechism in the home. And Cindy Jones owns this house today. Okay, the Back Brewery grocery store began as the original Brewery Seafood House, which was established in the 1950s by Paul Gautreaux Sr. and his wife, and Mary Dupuy Gautreaux. And the building replaced an older home where the Gautreaux had lived, and you can see subsequently they built a home behind there. And then the restaurant changed hands, and then later Ethel built the one in Front Brewery and then moved to the service road in Port Allen. The next pictures show the inside, and there were panel walls. And this picture shows Lloyd A. Bear and his sister Annabelle, his dad, and his two brothers. And Lloyd had taken over ownership of the seafood house, and then later his sister Annabelle. And then Ethel got involved, and then it moved. And this just shows people in Lloyd A. Bear's family. This is Mr. Dewey Bear, Mr. Coe, Mr. Howard LeBeau's aunt. These were all siblings. Ms. Raymond Gay Ran owned the cleaners in Port Allen. And this is Mr. Howard's mother. So they were siblings. This was a family reunion where this man bought the seafood house in 1960. And this home, this is important in the history of Brewery because this is J.C. Kaya and Geraldine Kayuet's home. And it was built by Manuel Martin in 1953. J.C. Kayuet was elected as one of the two additional aldermen in February 1967. And the election was held following the annexation of Back Brewery into the town limits. So before that, we only had three council members, and then we had no action when we incorporated Back Brewery. And then in September 1966, Governor McKeithen signed proclamation that changed the village of Brewery to the town of Brewery. And this is when the two aldermen, extra aldermen positions were created, and Omer and Irma Lorraine now own this house. Comment. You would not have been in the town limits then.
No, I'm sure the property value went way up when they had that Back Brewery.
Yeah. Well, the tax were okay then. Okay, this little house is right behind the seafood house, and this was called Ms. Gautreaux's house, but her husband had built this house in 1952 before he built the seafood house. And they their family lived here, and this included Paul Joe Gautreaux, his brother and his two sisters, and one of whom is Mary Irma LeRae. So Tina Omar LeRae and Mary Irma own that old house today too. This is, in our book we call this the Malasso House, at the other side of the entrance to Arlene's quarters. And Todu Malasso and his wife purchased the home from Carl and Ethelene Lejeune in the 1950s, but this house dates back probably to the 1930s. We know that a Foray family lived in there. There's a picture in the centennial room, a Foray person was a mayor of Brewery. We don't have much information about the family. And then the Lejeune family lived there. And Mr. Malasso and his wife raised their children there. And then Henry, one of the sons of his wife, bought the home, resided there until they sold it. And the current owners are Carrie and Pierce Brown, who purchased it in April 2013. And Carrie Brown is Paul Gautreaux's granddaughter. People on property in this story. Okay, this was the Brewery semi-pro football figure. There you go. Here's St. Francis Brewery. This picture is probably from 1959 with those aerial photographs of Father Cavallaro. There's the church, the cemetery, and there's the outline of the football field. And there weren't too many homes there. This is probably Mr. Peter Benoit's house. And in the trees there, that was probably Mr. Roden's house. And there weren't many other homes on that side of St. Francis Street. And this former landmark site really has two applications, because Peggy Benoit had completed the application before she sold the property, and subsequent to her application, the property was sold before the committee met, and the new owner, Sally and Bert Kelly, signed the application also. And in Peggy's note, she said that the house on the property is located about where Home Plate stood. And we think that the semi-pro baseball team started about 1947 and lasted until the early 1950s. And some of the players remembered being Miss Donald, Jack Saradet, Harry Roden, Poochie Landry, who was one of Neilan's brothers, Paul Surveyor, and some people who weren't familiar. Mr. Charlie Marineau was a coach, and others in the community had different other capacities. This shows what was left of the concession stand at the ballpark, and this was the Lions when they were getting started, because they started in around 1954, so they were using the ballpark area around the concession stand for their barbecues to raise money. So these are just some pictures from the past that tie into, because it was where the ballpark was located. So that's it.
Okay, well, those will be on the agenda for next week.
Oh yeah, well that's just when the people come, they know to call Wayne to have their flash on stall.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We'll get around to that. All right. Other matters, resolution number 10 of 2015 declaring the 2007 Crown Victoria as surplus and set a minimum price of $1,000. That's one of three vehicles we got from the sheriff's office. That was one of the ones. That's the worst one we have right now. It has 176,000 miles on it. It's nothing wrong with it this time, but it's getting on up there in miles. We're getting another vehicle here in 2 months. All right, go ahead and get rid of that. Can we get $1,000?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. You know,
yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's a good one. Better cut off your supply of cars and you can't bid on this stuff.
That's it.
Your wife probably thinks you got enough cars already.
She does. Yeah.
She'd be doing you a favor.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anybody have any comments on that? All right, discuss the town limit sign. I put a copy for the council members, Ms. Dubois and Niesler, picked the design that was put to make a little background. We were given, and that's given in parentheses, of quotes, the sign that used to be at Dow Credit Union, when it illuminates itself. We got hold of a guy with a Cadian sign, and he came up with a design to encapsulate that sign. 14 feet 8 inches high and 14 feet 8 inches wide, at the tune of $18,217. We budgeted $5,000 for a sign, and this has kind of got, in my opinion, this has kind of gotten out of hand. So I would like for the council to give me some feedback on whether we should go forward or back up and do something else, like what we had originally in mind, something a little more conservative. My opinion is 14 feet 8 inches, about 14 feet 8 inches, a mountain up there, you know, it's kind of a little large. But anyway, y'all, tell me what you think.
I like the original idea. Would DOTD even approve something like that?
Oh, we have to apply for that. I don't think no, they would or not. I mean, they won't call us back even, you know, but eventually if we have a design, we can press it, you know, and make, I guess we would.
We went measuring the new one in Plaquemine. It's 22 foot across the base. 9 foot high.
Oh, sure.
It doesn't look like it. I thought when I got out of the truck, I said, that's my thing to take. But it's a surprise issue.
Do we have a full month's notice?
Yeah, we just talked about we didn't get a full yet.
This is built around the LED thing, so that makes it long. You go back to the book.
I like the sign. I don't know, probably $18,000.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Like I said, maybe I need to get out more often. But.
Go to Duke's, that's when the man will take the next.
We didn't talk about the LTD.
So,
I know that Central has some nice signs like this, and they're in the median, the center median. But the last time I went up there, 2 or 3 weeks ago, nothing left but just the base. So I don't know if DOT is a state highway. I don't know if DOTD made them pull it up and they didn't get required permits or what, but I know it's gone. It was a nice sign before.
Yeah, you don't want to spend a lot of all this money on something and then just to have them tell you.
No, we're not going to do that. No. We have a state. We know we got to get a permit. We know that.
I didn't read all this. Is this power and everything that goes to it and whatever you need?
Well, you know, a power is already there. No, I'm sure it doesn't.
I mean, I don't know if there's some special thing to change the name.
Well, Joey, didn't they say if we wanted a remote, you can change a sign from here, it'd be a lot more than this.
Yeah, we don't get that. It's a matter of bringing a laptop out there and right next to it.
That kind of includes.
You decide what you want to put on there and you just type it in and all that.
We didn't see the price.
We have a sign expert in the back.
I want to put my 2 cents in about something. About the size of your sign, everybody's familiar with a little red building on the highway. A little building is 14 foot tall to the top of the bricks and 28 foot wide. So the next time you go by, look at exactly half the building, and that's going to be the how tall the building is.
Maybe we can work a deal out with you. We can stick that electronic thing inside your building.
So I know we can do that too. But that's 14 foot to the top of that brick right there.
I see. That's
and it's 28 foot.
The template, so.
It'd be double that.
Is that building eligible for a landmark?
Oh, yeah.
Is it over 50 years old?
It's 70 years old. Yeah.
There you go.
See, yeah.
Get out the application.
That's probably true. See, the sign thing, we have a basic problem. You have a mayor who does not want to make a decision on the art, what it looks like, because I ain't no artist, and I don't want to, you know, I drive around all over the place, and every time since we started this, you know, 2 years ago, every town I go in, I see a sign, and they all look good. I mean, they all look good, but the designs are just like wide open. I mean, it's all kinds. Some have bricks, some have metal, some have LEDs, some have this, some have flags. I mean, I drive in town and say, "Boy, that's nice. That's a nice thing." But I have not seen one yet say that's not very nice, except our town. But you know, it's kind of like somebody's got to pull the trigger and say, "This is what we're going to do." And I really would prefer it not be me, but if it's, you know.
We were on track.
That's right. Until they threw that out, and it looked like it's free. It's free for another, 13,000.
On track.
All right. So let's go back on track. Tell them thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, I think the old. I think
all right, let's do it right then.
The other direction from a maintenance standpoint, you have no maintenance.
No, there's no maintenance. No.
This one, your lights go out, load in it. Nothing worse than a sign that doesn't work.
And it's a huge sign, so the light is.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's
already. I was kind of hoping y'all would say that.
You can never see the sign, right? You cannot read the words on it, but it's lit. It's like a red dot.
That's good. Okay, we'll
type the drawing board.
Yeah, all right. Mayor's report, our aerator blowers that had died on us, the vendor, the expert who helped us supply us with two of them for half price, and they're installed and they're running good, so we're going to go. The new backhoe that was in the budget has been ordered and delivered. It's very nice. You can get a chance to run by there and see it. Very, very well-made machine. GIS, Mr. Niesler, Ms. Bourgeois, and myself, along with Wayne, met with the guy who does, who's the engineering company is going to do it. And it doesn't appear to be, it's going to be a major expense to get it done. One of the things that came out of the meeting was they wanted me to get contact with the engineering firms who've designed stuff lately to get the CAD files. And I know I talked to Cletus and two other engineering companies, and they said that. Have you called Guy Albert? Has he called you, well, GIS guy?
Not yet.
All right. Well, hopefully that will happen, but what they can do is it's very easy for them to implant that in the system where we'll have the, you know, the subdivisions and what they look like and the utilities and all that. So that's moving forward. The most interesting item was I met with Mayor Toops, Parish President, Phil Burgoyne, Jason, two guys from LSU, and three people from the treasurer's office, at the treasurer's office. The way our taxes work is 1 cent of the sales tax is by the census number. Whatever the census number is for 10 years, that's what you get, percentage-wise, population percentage-wise. The other cent of the taxes are, you start out with the census number, and every year, it used to be Louisiana Tech, but now it's LSU, does an estimate on what your population is, and they redo the population percentages. That doesn't happen until the council, the parish council, declares that the population is what they say. So even if LSU sends these things out, they're not implemented until the parish votes on it. Well, interestingly, the people at LSU and the treasurer, therefore, they do estimates on the municipality one way, and they do estimates for the entire parish a different way. So they have two different formulas that they use. So Philip and Pee-wee and those guys were saying, well, look, you know, we're, you know, according to the census, we're like number 8 in the state for the fastest growing parishes, and, you know, everything points in that direction from the census. But yet we get our information from LSU through the treasurer's department. It says that they went up like 6 people in the parish in the last 2 years. You know? Like the parish population increased 6 people. And that ain't right. Even I know that ain't right. So, you know, they don't want to adopt new numbers for the municipalities that are going up and therefore cut their percentage down. So we engaged in a very long discussion with them on why we couldn't get together, the four entities, the three municipalities and the parish, get together and say, you know, this is our population for parish and this is for each town, you know, like basically submit that to them. Well, come to find out, the only way they'll let us do that is the parish gets their numbers and then the parish appeals it. And during the appeal, they would in turn submit the numbers that they think the parish is, and we'd also submit the numbers that we think we are, like the treasurer said we are. So it's not resolved yet, but at least we kind of have a path. Now, in that discussion, we can start asking, well, what is the best way to figure out how many people you got? And the guy from LSU says, the most reliable way to figure out how many people you got is by electrical hookups. You know, we use sewer hookups, we use, you know, all kinds of different data we submit. How many WMs, how many trailers you got in town, how many building permits. There's all kinds of ways that they figure this stuff. But they found the most reliable one is by electrical hookups. Now, a person can have one house with 2 meters, you know, whatever. There's no way that's perfect, but they found that it's the closest. So Philip is going to call Entergy, and Entergy is going to try to get Entergy, I think he will, submit, well, it's actually Entergy and Point Coupee up in another part of Parish, submit their list of how many people are hooked up to that system, and we'll use we use that as a basis to figure out how many people there are in the parish and how many people there are in each one of the municipalities. So this is a discussion that's not over yet, but at least it's a discussion that started. As it stands right now, and until the parish council votes otherwise, we are our census number, Addis is their census number, Port Allen is their census number, and the parish is their census number, U.S. census, which frankly is to our advantage because we had our people counted correctly. Addis was severely undercounted, Port Allen severely undercounted, and I don't have no idea about how we all did in the parish, but I'd guess that anyone counted too. So I think, you know, it's to our advantage to sit, you know, pat. But personally, because we get along so well with the parish and everybody gets along so well, I think if all of us can come to a conclusion of what's fair, I think it'd be the best thing overall. So we'll keep plowing in that direction. And like I said, I don't expect to come back next month and say this is all done, deal, everything wonderful. But that's what that means. But that's all I have. Remarks, personal privilege, anyone?
Thanks to the crew that got the sandbags down the street. Thanks to Terry Shaw, Chief Officer Salhoun, Officer LeRae. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Announcements of a landmark heritage plaque ceremony will be September 20th, 2015 at 3 p.m. And I would like to ask if we could go into executive session for a legal matter, discuss a legal matter. It's a letter I got today. The executive session will last about 2 minutes. Chief, you need to be there.
So moved.
Move Ms. Bourgeois.
I'll second.
Second Minister Rose. Any comments from the audience? Roll call vote.
Councilmember Rose.
Yep.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Yes.
Councilmember Richard.
Yes. Thank you.
Councilmember Andre.
Yes.
Councilmember Nixon.
Yeah.
See you later. No, let's just stay in the left hand. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Not anything.